I'm Amber Harmon, Vice President of Customer Experience. We thank you for your cooperation and support during this pandemic, and we're looking forward to the end of it. I encourage everyone to get the vaccine. You're listening to Taste of Harmons.
All right, this is Taste of Harmons, official podcast for Harmons Grocery. I am Brandon, the host for this episode. And we've all had a rough year with the COVID-19 pandemic. We've had numerous restrictions, changes in various policy to help mitigate the spread. And to say it was a learning curve with the new practices is an understatement, but I'm proud to say that all of our stores and associates have adapted extremely well to institute measures as new information regarding transmission of the virus became available. Everything from social distancing, masks, cleanliness, and sanitation, I cannot extend my gratitude to our essential workers enough. And here we are, vaccinations are upon us. So we felt it was warranted to discuss procedure and concerns regarding the vaccine in the hopes everyone will consider doing their part in an effort to reach herd immunity. So in studio, I am joined by Greg Jones, our pharmacy director. And thanks for taking the time to discuss this.
Thanks, Brandon. Happy to be here today.
So tell us a little bit about your background. Your title is correct, right? Pharmacy director?
That's right. I'm the director of pharmacy for Harmons. I've worked for Harmons since 1992, which that's a long time ago now. But I started at the West store as a pharmacy intern. And then after I graduated, I worked there for, 6 months or so as a staff pharmacist. Then I managed a few different pharmacies. And I've been here in the office since 2001.
And great. It's nice to have you. I've known you for a very, very long time. Yeah. So,
I've known you, I think, Brandon, since 2001. That was the first year of our MS bike team.
There we go. So. Yeah. Yeah. That's coming up very soon. So hopefully everyone can get vaccinated so we can deal with it going forward right. As intended.
It would be a lot more fun to have a podcast about the MS bike event than about COVID vaccines.
Very much so. More fun to talk about that for sure. So just real quick, as I said, we will be talking to vaccines. So I just want to, as a disclaimer, we will not be discussing anything outside of CDC recommendations or policy that is not conducted by Harmons. So this is not opinion-based, it's not political, or in the realm of conspiracy theories. We're just talking vaccines from our pharmacy experts to provide the information necessary. So with that out of the way, let's start. Why should everyone consider getting vaccinated?
Brandon, vaccines work. And, this coronavirus has been horrible. It's been about a year now. In our country, we've lost over 500,000 people, many more than that, of course, worldwide. And we know from past epidemics and diseases that vaccines work. So if we can get people vaccinated, we can knock this virus down and get back to our lives.
We're trying to reach herd immunity. What is that percentage, and what does that mean for us as a population?
Yeah, Brandon, we're working hard to get people vaccinated, and we're hoping we can get to 80%, and that should create some good herd immunity to protect most of the population.
Can you explain to the listener just what is herd immunity and why that's important?
Yeah. So, Brandon, if you can get enough people immunized, then the virus doesn't have anywhere to go. So if there aren't, vulnerable people for the virus to, infect and then spread to other people, it'll just kind of, die out. So that's the concept behind herd immunity.
So then there's a variety of vaccines going on. There's Moderna, there's Pfizer, and then there's a Johnson & Johnson. Right. So which one of those will Harmons be administering?
So there are three vaccines. The Moderna and Pfizer are a two-dose vaccine. The J&J vaccine is a single dose. Right now, Harmons, at 10 of our stores, we have the Moderna vaccine, and we're going to bring 8 other stores on with the J&J vaccine. That'll be all of our 18 stores in total. So again, we'll have 10 stores doing Moderna, 8 stores doing J&J. There's been a little bit of delay in the delivery of the J&J vaccine, so we don't have that quite yet. But hopefully here soon, we'll be able to have those two choices for our customers and for our associates.
And so that will stay throughout the duration of it. So some stores will be one, and the others will be doing J&J.
Yeah, that's our plan right now. I think it's nice to give people an option.
There are some that require the second dose. So educate us on what that means and what that process and procedure is?
So when you come in for your first dose, we'll actually schedule the second dose for you 28 days out. The Moderna is a 28-day waiting period between the first dose and the second dose. And it's important to get that first dose. I hope people don't make the mistake of thinking, oh, I've had one dose, I don't need to go in for the second one. Because you really do need that second dose to achieve the full immunity from the vaccine of about 90 to 95%.
Regardless if it's first or second dose, and then even with Johnson & Johnson, what is it that we're, you know, it gets administered and there's a waiting period, just make sure that you're not experiencing any side effects. What's going on there? What are we looking for? What should people be aware of that could happen at that point?
Yeah, there's always a risk with a vaccine of having an anaphylactic reaction. And so we should always watch patients for at least 15 minutes after they've received a vaccine. So the stores have some chairs set up. You'll get your vaccine. They'll have you sit in a chair there near the pharmacy so we can keep an eye on you for about 15 minutes. If you've had a past history of a bad reaction to a vaccine, then they'll keep you there for a little bit longer, probably 30 minutes, just to make sure everybody's, you know, doing okay after the vaccine. So that's the concern of an allergic reaction to the vaccine, which could happen. And then a lot of people will have some symptoms after, as your body is mounting an immune response to that vaccine. So you may first off just have a sore arm, which is, you know, to be expected. We're sticking a needle in your arm. So you may have some muscle soreness. And then sometimes people have mild, you know, COVID-like symptoms, maybe some aches and pains or just being really tired. But usually that's for a day, and then it's gone.
I know my wife has had it, and I know Chef Leslie, who's usually on these podcasts, she's had it, and just really, really sore arms was the extent of their side effects, which is excellent. So if someone comes into the store and they get their dose, whichever one they end up getting, is it best for them to sit down and wait by the pharmacy, or can they go and carry out some shopping when that happens? What do you recommend with that?
Yeah, that's a good question, Brandon. We have such awesome stores. Why would anybody just want to sit in a chair for 15 minutes, right?
Yes.
When they could be out shopping. But we really need to just keep an eye on them for those 15 minutes. So we're asking people to stay in the chair. You know, imagine if somebody was out shopping, say they were in the produce department, and all of a sudden that allergic reaction started. You know, the people in the produce department might not know what's going on or realize that the patient had just had a vaccine. So we do want to keep them there close to the pharmacy. The pharmacists are trained to respond if there is an allergic reaction. We have the EpiPen and other medications that are needed if somebody has a reaction. Then, of course, we would immediately call 911.
Is there anything else that a patient / customer has to do to prepare for getting the vaccine?
So to get a vaccine at Harmon's for COVID, you do have to register on our website. You just go to harmonsgrocery.com. The link is right at the top of our website. We open new appointments every Monday morning at 9 a.m. So if you need an appointment, you know, Monday morning, 9 a.m., you want to be on our website and scheduling those appointments. And then the day of the appointment, you know, if your appointment's at noon, just show up about 5:02. We don't need you to be there earlier than that because we'll be taking care of the patients with earlier appointments. But just show up about 5:02. When you're scheduling the appointment, there will be a consent form that pops up. And the more complete that consent form is, the smoother the process will be at the store. So, of course, we need your demographic information, your name and your address and your phone number, your date of birth, things like that. We also need your insurance information. So there's some spots on the form for that. If you have Medicare Part B, you'll complete that information. If you just have commercial insurance, there's a spot for that. And you might ask why we need your insurance information, because we're not going to charge you anything. And that's always true. You'll never be charged for a COVID vaccine. But the pharmacies are allowed to bill for an administrative fee. So that's to help cover our costs with our, you know, our labor costs and other costs that we've incurred to deliver that vaccine. So if you can just fill that consent form out ahead of time. As we've talked about, it also helps the pharmacist know if there's, you know, any potential issues with you getting that vaccine, you know, allergies or things like that. So just fill that form out as complete as you can. Then just show up the day of the appointment. You'll check in at our drop-off window. They'll make sure they have all the required information from you, and then they'll send you. Each store has a designated area where they're doing the vaccinations. They'll send you to that area, and then when it's your turn, the pharmacist or the technician will call you in. They'll administer the vaccine, answer any questions you have, give you some information about the vaccine, including your vaccine card, which is great. It'll record your first dose, and then if you need to get a second dose, they'll put the appointment on there for you. Make sure you keep that card so you can prove that you've been vaccinated for your own records, and then they'll just have you wait for 15 minutes or so, keep an eye on you, make sure everything's okay after you've received the vaccine.
And then on that card as well, it will say which brand they have received, so there's no confusion with that later.
Right. Yeah, it'll stay on the card, the name of the vaccine, and then if it's a two-dose vaccine, it'll show both doses on there.
So they sign up, they come into the store 5 minutes early, do all the check-in, all the necessary paperwork that is needed. Who's going to be doing, or who's going to be administering the vaccines? Pharmacists?
So it could well be one of our pharmacy or our pharmacists from the pharmacy team. Our pharmacists have been immunizing patients for over 20 years now, which is kind of exciting. But now also pharmacy technicians are able to administer vaccines as long as they've completed the appropriate training program. So most of our lead techs have been trained, and then a lot of our other pharmacy technicians also have been trained. So when you go in to get the vaccine, it could be one of our pharmacists, or it could be one of our awesome pharmacy technicians that's been trained to administer the vaccine.
And just for clarity's sake, that's all vaccines, so flu. So it's not just because of COVID and the pandemic. It's any type of vaccine that we offer.
Right. Cool. Yeah, our State Board of Pharmacy made that change last year to allow technicians to administer vaccines. And you're right, Brandon, it could be a flu vaccine or a tetanus vaccine or a COVID vaccine.
If they have received a flu vaccine, and then can they get the COVID-19 vaccine shortly thereafter? Is there a waiting period that they need to keep in mind?
Yeah, one of our screening questions is, have you had any other vaccines within the last 14 days? So there is a 14-day period either before the COVID vaccine or after the COVID vaccine that you can't receive other vaccines.
So that would also mean for first dose, 14 days before, 14 days after, but second dose, that would be right in the middle of that. So you should not get another vaccine in between your two doses.
That's right.
Okay. So if you've already been positive with COVID, are you able to, and should you get a vaccine after the fact?
So even if you've been tested positive for COVID for the COVID virus, you should still get vaccinated. But the recommendation right now is that you wait 90 days. We know for sure that the antibodies after you've tested positive for COVID are good for 90 days to give you protection, and that may allow some more people to get vaccinated. But make sure you do get in after the 90 days and get vaccinated like everybody else.
And then aside from, again, the second doses, and I know there's elements of temperature of the vaccine, is there any other type of differences between the vaccines? Why is there three different versions of this?
Yeah, so they're just developed by different manufacturers. The way the vaccines work is slightly different between the J&J and the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine. The storage requirements, the Pfizer vaccine has to be stored at a really cold temperature. It's a sensitive virus and really sensitive to heat. The Moderna vaccine that we're using just has to be, frozen, and then we can put it in the fridge and store it in the fridge for up to 30 days. So that works out well for us because we receive that vaccine and have it all administered within a week. And then the J&J vaccine is a refrigerated vaccine.
Is there any type of difference of the, I don't know if this is the right word for this, but the ingredients of it that people might need to be aware of as far as what they may be allergic to? Or
yeah.
Is it pretty much consistent across the board? Or
no, they are all slightly different. So one of the questions that the pharmacist will always ask is, have you had allergic reactions to other medications? And so it's important that you list those things. Polyethylene glycol is one of the ingredients in the first two vaccines that there's some concern that maybe that's caused some of the allergic reactions, but it's hard you know, it's really hard to say with a brand new vaccine. But so any sort of allergic reactions that you've had, make sure you discuss with the pharmacist so they can, you know, make sure that's not one of the ingredients of the vaccines.
Is there information on kind of learning that ahead of time so you're scheduling for the right brand?
Well, so our stores will only have one brand or the other. But when you fill out a consent form for the appointment, you'll disclose that allergy information ahead of time. And if the pharmacists have a concern, they'll call and talk to you about it.
Okay, perfect.
One of the questions I get, Brandon, is, you know, which vaccine should I get? And my answer has just been whatever vaccine you can get now is the best vaccine for you. So I would just sign up for, you know, an appointment as soon as you can, as soon as you're eligible, and get vaccinated. Such a nice feeling after you've been vaccinated. You know, I think we've all been so stressed out this past year, worried about the virus, and it just kind of takes some weight off your shoulders, you know, when you've received that vaccine. For our associates, we've done a couple of nice things. We have some really some nice little wristbands that show you've been vaccinated, so that's kind of cool. And then there's a nice foodie card offer for associates also. So hopefully our associates will get in and get vaccinated. You know, as frontline workers, we really are in a vulnerable position. Thousands of people come through our stores every day, and so it'll be so nice when we have a majority of our own associates vaccinated to help protect them and, you know, to help protect their coworkers and even our customers.
All right, so let's talk the timeline for distribution. It originally started off with 65 and older, and then obviously people with medical conditions that they, you know, they would need to be first of the line. And then that opened up very recently to 50. Do we have a timeline of when another age group is going to be offered?
Yeah, Governor Cox, I think, has done a nice job communicating expectations to us. He's also stated, you know, from the start of the vaccine process that he wanted to have a greater demand and supply. So he wanted to make sure that all the available appointments were getting filled. So that's why he's been pretty aggressive, I think, with changing the age groups and the eligibility groups. And he has stated that April 1st that it'll probably be open just to the general population. So that's pretty exciting news. We've vaccinated over 1 million people now in the state of Utah. Over the weekend, we passed that, which is a great milestone. And each day we keep immunizing more and more people. It sounds like the state's going to have access to more vaccine as we go forward, which is exciting. There's a lot of access points now for vaccine through, you know, local pharmacies. The health departments are still vaccinating. And some of the bigger medical groups, Intermountain Healthcare, the University of Utah, and Nomi Healthcare are going to start doing more mass clinics. So it's really exciting that the timelines have been moving quickly and more people are getting immunized.
So what is Harmon's doing to make sure that there's no doses that are being wasted?
Yeah, so we've received good direction from the local health departments. The vaccine is interesting. Once we take the first dose out of a vial, it's only good for 6 hours. So the Moderna vaccine comes 10 doses to the vial. The J&J comes 5 doses. So that means once we take that first dose out, you know, we have to use the other 9 or the other 4 or 5, depending on the vaccine, within 6 hours. So we have our schedules filled with, you know, with a certain amount of patients. And if somebody doesn't show up or cancels, you know, now we have an opening on the schedule that we have to fill. So we've been instructed to have a standby list of people that we can call that are interested in coming in maybe last minute to get that vaccine. And so, you know, associates that haven't been vaccinated, you could talk to your pharmacy and get put on that list. We try to give priority to people that meet the age requirements and maybe health conditions. But at the end of the day, we've been instructed it's, you know, it's better to give the vaccine to somebody that's not eligible yet than let it go to waste. And so it's a good idea to get on that list. And, you know, if at the end of the day, the pharmacy has a dose left over, you know, you might be the fortunate one to get that vaccine.
If you get vaccinated and someone in your household has not been vaccinated and they get they test positive, is it recommended, and should you, if you've been vaccinated, should you quarantine still?
Yeah, I don't think there's a strict recommendation that you quarantine, Brandon. But if there's a sick person in your house, you still want to take precautions and be careful. So I would just encourage people to be careful. Obviously, monitor their own symptoms. I don't know that you need to quarantine, but I would encourage people to be cautious and take precautions.
But what about the effective rates of this? I know there's slight variation between each one, but overall, what's the what's the effective rate of the vaccines?
So some of these numbers on how effective the vaccines are, I would say they're a little confusing and sometimes a little misleading. You have to remember the vaccines were developed by different companies, and they were tested in different countries and at different times. So the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine were developed very early in the pandemic. The J&J vaccine, for example, was developed a little bit later. So some of those numbers are reflective of different variants of the vaccine. And so what I would focus on is all three of the vaccines right now are well over 90% effective in preventing serious disease, hospitalization, and death. And, you know, really that's what we care about is keeping people out of the hospital and, you know, obviously preventing deaths. And all three of the vaccines are fabulous at that at this point.
You know, over 90%, which is great, but there's still a small percentage there that you could still get COVID-19. It would probably be a lot less severe than the alternative of not being protected and vaccinated. Right. But I'm assuming then that there's still a risk that if that does happen, you could still transmit it to other people.
You know, the first question is, I mean, it's possible you could still get COVID if you've been vaccinated. It's very unlikely. And if you did, it would be a less severe case, similar to the flu vaccine. So even though you get the flu vaccine, you could maybe still get the flu. But if you do, it's going to be much less severe than if you hadn't been vaccinated. So there's still, I don't think it's very clear right now, Brandon, whether if you've been immunized, if you could still spread it to other people. I think it's very unlikely. There's some thought that, you know, maybe you could possibly inhale live virus and before your body can mount an immune response and destroy that virus, you could exhale it out and somebody else could maybe, you know, catch the coronavirus from that. But that's still not well understood one way or the other.
So if somebody's pregnant, should they get vaccinated? And if so, what is there anything that they need to be careful of?
Yeah, Brandon, that's a question we've received a lot from associates and from customers. And really the recommendation is if you're expecting you should get vaccinated. I always encourage people if they have any concerns, you know, just check with their doctor. And, you know, I've had that conversation with several patients and then they've come back to me and said, yeah, my doctor says I should get vaccinated. But so my advice is you should get vaccinated, but if you're concerned at all, then just follow up with your doctor and make sure you're comfortable getting the vaccine.
If everyone gets the vaccine and we do reach herd immunity, will that mean then that the pandemic is over?
Yeah, effectively, that's right. And, you know, it's important that people get immunized as quickly as possible. I'm sure you've heard about some of the variants from the virus. And, you know, the sooner we can get people immunized and stop the spread of the virus, then the less chance there is for it to change and, you know, into these variants that you've heard about on the news.
Thank you very much for taking the time to enlighten us on this subject, Greg. It's been very, very informative.
Well, thanks for having me. And I just encourage everybody to get vaccinated.
Yeah, and then if you do have any other questions, like I said, there will be links to our frequently asked questions that will hopefully answer a lot of those. But if there's still any other concerns or questions that you may have, I would encourage you to go to a pharmacist at Harmon's, and they are well educated on the subject, so they'll be able to help answer any of those questions that you may have. So please take advantage of that. And then make sure to subscribe to Taste of Harmons in your favorite podcast player. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. And on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review. And you can learn more about Harmons at harmonsgrocery.com and find us on various social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Please visit us at harmonsgrocery.com.